Case and Gregor Show podcast brought to you by Lakewood Chev, where right now prices are reduced by $7,500 or more on 2017 Corvette Stingrays with 0% financing for 60 months. Winter pricing in August at Lakewood Chev.
Joining us now from SB Nation is Adam Stites. He's usually an NFL writer, but wrote a really interesting article about NFL players turned MMA fighters, and it's how basically there's a door open for NFL players once their career is open. Adam joins us now. Adam, welcome back. Welcome to the show. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing good. I appreciate you taking some time on a Friday afternoon here. Your article with Matt Mitrione, as you, of course, we all watched the Fedor fight a few months ago, but how did you find out about Matt's story and what inspired you to write this story?
First of all, I'm a big fan of both sports, and so it's always been interesting to me to see guys cross over. It's not just Mitrione. There's also Brendan Schaub and a guy, Austin Lane, who I covered pretty closely when he was with the Jaguars. Now he's making that transition. So it was just kind of an interesting career switch that a few guys have made, and Mitrione's right at the very top of that list.
Are there any skills from football that you can bring over to MMA?
Yeah, absolutely. I think most of what makes football players successful is usually short area quickness, explosion, lower body strength, and then just tackling. And a lot of these guys have kind of a wrestling background or something along those lines. And so a lot of those skills do translate. They still have to learn how to punch, learn how to throw kicks, and learn a lot of those skills, but they have so much of the athletic profile already there to be successful as soon as they learn those skills.
And there's a lot more venues now for these fighters to go. It's not just the UFC. There's a bunch of other promotions that aren't as big as the UFC and where he fought Fedor. Like, there's a lot more opportunities for these guys now, isn't there?
Absolutely. Bellator is definitely a big one. Eric Anders, who played for Alabama, he didn't end up making it in the NFL. He had a tryout with the Browns, but he went through the Legacy Fighting Alliance, and that's another one that's produced a lot of big talent. And there's a lot of opportunities. It's not hard to find a spot to compete at a professional level. It's hard to find a spot where you're going to make any kind of significant money. A lot of these guys coming from the NFL are making a minimum of $500,000 a year, and you're going to a situation where you're making only a few hundred dollars a fight for your first few professional fights. So that's probably the biggest attraction.
We're joined by Adam Stites from SB Nation, talking his article, NFL Players Turn MMA Stars. And Matt Mitrione is 3-0 in Bellator after he left the UFC in January of 2016. Do you think this has maybe put him back on the spot? Like, we all saw that fight where they both kind of knocked each other out and he was the first one to get back to his feet. Do you think he ever goes back to the UFC?
It's possible. He's getting up there in age as well. But absolutely, if he hits free agency again, he's still probably a top 15 heavyweight in the world, and the UFC's heavyweight division is pretty thin. But if he gets up there, Bellator doesn't have a heavyweight champion, so he's probably on the short list. Maybe one of the guys that's definitely going to be fighting for it pretty soon. So if he wins that title, then yeah, he'll be right there in the mix to maybe get back in and be a top 10 fighter in the UFC.
Adam, you had a great chance to speak with a lot of people for this article, including Matt, including Ariel Helwani, one of the top MMA journalists in North America. What'd you learn about the life of a fighter? Did you learn it was a lot more difficult? Obviously it's very difficult to get into the octagon, but what were a couple of things that you picked up?
Yeah, I think what was really fascinating is just how, the sport is still so young from a financial kind of perspective. It's still, we talk in the NFL a lot about contracts and about the CBA is going to have to be renegotiated in a few years, might cause a lockout, but there's no union representation for these fighters, and there's no kind of any kind of collective bargaining. There's a TV deal coming up for the UFC where they might re-sign with Fox for maybe $400 million, and the fighters get 0% of that big paycheck. So it's still so far behind every other sport in terms of athlete pay.
We're joined by Adam Stites from SB Nation. After you wrote this, did you get lots of feedback from people both in the from the football world and from the MMA community?
Yeah, a pretty decent bit. you know, I think the biggest feedback that I got was that a lot of people say, well, why would you go from brain injuries in football to brain injuries in fighting, which is definitely understandable. That's probably one of the biggest, you know, reasons why a lot of these guys don't do it. The guys that have really made that transition pretty successful were guys that didn't have long NFL careers, that really the only one who ever played in the NFL for a long time and then tried to make that change was Herschel Walker did it pretty successfully, but he only fought twice. And so, you know, a guy like Mitrione, he really only appeared in a handful of NFL games and only had a few snaps. So the guys that really get the bumps and bruises and the long-term damage from the NFL, they're not the ones that are going to be going into MMA in the first place.
Adam Stites from SB Nation joins us. You mentioned you're a big fan of the NFL and as well as MMA. Will you be tuning in tomorrow night from Vegas?
Oh, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
And, like, how are you feeling about this? Like, I've run out of fresh things to say. How are you feeling about this fight tomorrow night? What do you think we're going to see tomorrow?
I think one of the most fascinating things about this fight is that it's just so – it's something that's always kind of been – it's a Superman versus Batman kind of situation where it's just something that has always been talked about. How would this guy do against this guy? And we never really found out. You know, even when Anderson Silva was the man in the UFC – there was always the talk of what if he faced Roy Jones Jr. And now we're going to finally see where that gulf is between boxing and MMA. Like, how different is the hand speed? What is that difference like? So I think it's just fascinating from that perspective. You can be cynical about it being, you know, this $100 million fight for both guys, but I think it's just going to be interesting to see the difference and if there really is one. I think Conor McGregor has a much better shot than most people give him.
I want to get your thoughts also on John Jones, who tested positive earlier this week. There's a lot going on in the world of sports. I believe that news kind of leaked about an hour after the big trade between the Cavs and Boston in the NBA. But what kind of stage is the UFC in right now, as one of their biggest stars is currently in a boxing ring, one of their other biggest stars who they had a lot of potential for and hype and given them second chances, might be suspended for a maximum of 4 years?
Yeah, it's bad shape, definitely. There's a lot of that couldn't have gone more poorly for them. For him to come back, take out their champion with a devastating head kick, he might leave the division and go back up to heavyweight. And then now it looks like they're going to lose John Jones, maybe for good. So, it's bad, pretty bad shape. One thing about the UFC is that they've done a really good job in the last few years of kind of cultivating a really expansive roster. They have fights, you know, almost every Saturday or at least every other Saturday. And so it's built as a sport where it's not as reliant on these single pay-per-views like it was, you know, maybe 10 years ago. It does have kind of an infrastructure in place where guys will rise up through the ranks and capture attention along the way. So, you know, Conor McGregor kind of came out of nowhere. I don't think the UFC is doomed by any stretch, but it might be a while before they have any star or anywhere near McGregor and Jones' level.
Having said all of that, how much do you think Dana White wants George St. Pierre to win his first fight back?
Probably a lot, especially Michael Bisping has been a big face of the UFC for a long time, but he doesn't have a whole lot of star power, and a lot of people feel like he's a fluke champion who knocked out Luke Rockhold on a kind of a fluky punch. So I think it would just kind of restore order a little bit. At the same time, George St. Pierre kind of throws a wrench in everything as well. So, I think it would be good for the UFC if George St. Pierre won. I think it might have been better if he just never came back in the first place. I think it's maybe a one-off kind of deal, and if he just ends up retiring again, I think it just throws everything back into chaos.
Adam, we'll close on this. You're usually an NFL writer for SB Nation. NFL season just right around the corner. We're actually going to preview Jacksonville in our next hour of the show, but what do you think is the biggest storyline heading into week one of the NFL season? Is it Kaepernick? Is it Ezekiel Elliott? Is it Odell Beckham not being able to go, or is it maybe something else?
I think one that's kind of been overlooked is what's the deal with Andrew Luck? The Colts have been really quiet about that. and it looks like he might not start. And for all the criticism that the Jaguars have got about their quarterback situation, the Colts seem completely okay with just kind of a terrible situation at quarterback to start off the year. Scott Tolzien would be their quarterback for week one, maybe week two. We have no idea how ready Andrew Luck is. They've been really quiet about that. And it's hard to imagine the Colts looking like a winner without Andrew Luck. The rest of the roster isn't good at all. They've been winning just because of Andrew Luck. So that's a situation that's kind of flown under the radar, and it's surprising to me because it really feels like they're just almost forfeiting week one if they don't address the quarterback situation at all.
Adam, I really appreciate giving us a few minutes on a Friday. Enjoy the fight tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of training camp, and enjoy the NFL season. We'll have you on once week one kicks off, okay?
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Adam Stites from SB Nation.